Hi everyone, welcome back to another episode of Katamita. I'm Yusuf.
And I'm Zuby.
And this week was my birthday, and as a little celebration, I'm super excited because I'm going to get to see Nicki Minaj on her Pink Friday 2 World Tour in just a couple weeks. And as some of you that are listening might know, I'm a huge fan of Nicki Minaj. In fact, I have a tattoo of her on my arm made with UV ink that glows pink under a black light.
I wish he was joking.
I know. And I recognize that that's insane. But I also recognize that even though you might be more mature than me, you are not immune from stanning either.
Yeah.
And so we kind of just want to talk about who we stan, why we stan them, maybe even just some stan culture topics, maybe why stan culture is so prevalent. And yeah, so let's get into it.
For those out there that are older, what does it mean to be a stan?
Sure. So a lot of people might not know this, but stan actually comes from an Eminem song.
Yeah, I remember that song.
Yeah, where basically there's... Okay.
That one?
I don't know how accurate that sounded, but... But yeah, like, it's a song about, you know, his super fan that goes crazy and I think eventually kills himself or something like that because he loved him so much.
I think
much.
Devin Sawa played that character. You won't know. You're Mm-mm, too young. No.
But yeah, it's basically become a term for super fanning somebody. Okay. And so I'm a Barb, which is a Nicki stan.
Okay.
And who do you stan?
Well, I mean, I don't know that I stan. I get no. Let me be real. I do.
and you see,
NSYNC. So anybody who knew me back in like high school, I probably the thing I was known for was just being obsessed with NSYNC. And my parents graciously, you know, did allow me to be a little bit of a bubblegum pop follower. And it's interesting because I remember when I was younger and they'd be like, you're not supposed to obsess over people and things, you know, that's, you know, making something equal to God.
Yeah.
And, you know,
yeah. When we were, we talked a little bit about how we were raised with our religion in our last episode, but yeah, it's called shidduch, you know, equating somebody to God or giving them the status of God.
Yeah.
Which is a pretty big taboo for a lot of people, you know.
Yeah, but I think they also were, surprisingly, they did, like, enable it a little bit. Like, I went to concerts, and I remember my mom bought me, like, an NSYNC throw, and I would videotape all of their appearances, and...
Period.
Oh, my God, I was crazy. Had all of the magazines, have a whole little scrapbook of, like, all of their little magazine articles, and even, I mean, I did a little bit for Britney, because I think the first time I saw them, Britney was opening for them. This was, like, way back when, and I remember initially people started booing for her, but she worked the crowd, and she... got them, you know, on her side, which was really cool.
So let me ask you, what do you think made you stan NSYNC, besides being like a teenage girl when they were at their prime?
Yeah, hormones? No. I think I really, obviously, JC and Justin were, you know, attractive. And so I was definitely like, yeah, there's that. But also,
shout out to JC.
I loved the fact that they could really sing well. Like, their a cappella was so good. And they just had that talent. And what I also loved was that anytime you saw videos of them, they were just so silly and goofy and playing around with each other. And it's endearing. Like, it was just really endearing. And I don't know how much of it was for the cameras or whatever. So I think what got me sort of, like, recently back into this a little bit was that we were going to read the Britney book for a book club that I'm in. And I started, you know, reading and then didn't actually get to finish it. But then I was listening to, like, one or two little podcasts or something about her. And I think that brought me to... some podcast, which led me to another one, and I found Lance Bass's podcast that he was doing during COVID. And also, if you haven't listened to that, the intro song to that is amazing. Like, I just randomly sing it all the time now. It's so good. But he had actually gone back and done like an NSYNC week and interviewed all of the NSYNC members.
Oh, that's so cute.
And it kind of got me just in that nostalgic mode. For sure. And just like watching old things. And it's interesting now, 20 something years later, how they talk about it.
Yeah.
And then of course everybody was flipping out because everybody's been wanting a reunion for NSYNC forever.
Of course.
And then they did the troll song Better Place, which was really exciting for all of us. So yeah.
Yeah. For me, the reason I connect with Nicki Minaj, which I know like a lot of people are like, what the heck, you know,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
but the reason she connected with me is because when she was coming up, so we're going back like 2008, 2009, I'm starting high school.
Okay.
2010 is when she really starts going off. First of all, the music was insane. You know what I mean? Okay. Like, nobody was bringing what Nicki Minaj was bringing to the game. She was so hungry to just be at the top. You know, mm-hmm. she got on any artist's song and yeah. washed them. You know, like, absolutely tore it up every single time. And I think also what was unique about Nicki Minaj and what a lot of people don't credit her for is that she's one of the first and to this day few celebrities that built an actual connection with her fan base. And I know there's the whole view that, like, yes, celebrities, you don't really know them besides what they present on their socials.
Yeah.
And I feel like she's kind of the exception to that, which, again, I know I'm delusional because I'm a Barb. But if you go back to 2009 or 2008 when she's coming up, she's tweeting her fans and she's talking to her fans. She's telling them what she's doing, how she's feeling, etc. Appreciating them, always loving them, always motivating them, etc. If you look at her today in 2024, mm-hmm. most of the time her posts are still interacting with fans a lot of times.
Versus so, just like putting something out there.
Right, and just promoting her stuff. Okay. Exactly.
I thought what was interesting about her is that she and Lady Gaga were two that I feel like when they came out, I had this, I don't even know how I said it, but I was like, they've openly unleashed their crazy. Mm-hmm. And I sort of like loved and respected that because I feel like we all have a little bit of that crazy in us.
For sure.
And that, but we're not all brave enough to just let it out. And,
you know,
and then their outfits and things like that. I thought there was courage in that. Yeah,
definitely. And as I've gotten older, the reason I've set in stone my love for her, actually, it's funny you brought up Lady Gaga, was because I always found it so fascinating how hard Nicki Minaj had to fight for like a seat at the table, for a seat to prove her rank as a great artist. Whereas for Lady Gaga, of course, she definitely ate and, you know, was hungry and went through her phase. But as a white woman, her treatment was completely different than Nicki Minaj's. And I think some of that has to do with, you know, hip-hop culture and rap culture being so competitive. And also, like,
they're not making the same product. It's not apples to apples.
Absolutely, absolutely. But they were compared a lot, you know. Or rather, Nicki Minaj was always compared to Lady Gaga. It wasn't ever so much the other way around, which makes you wonder, you know, why. And additionally, I just found her story from, you know, selling CDs of her mixtape out the trunk of her car, you know, going to clubs, getting the club lit, you
know.
Don't
you think that's everybody, though?
It's not, especially not today. The game is so different today because social media and everything is so different.
But I think back then, like, that sounds like the story for pretty much every up-and-coming artist.
Right, but not all those up-and-coming artists succeeded and were hungry and had the drive. And she did what she needed to do, you know, she stood out in the street on the, you know, sold her CDs, went to the clubs where there were 10, 20 people. And then eventually, because she kept going at it, you know, she would sell out clubs. And now she's selling out arenas and, you know, has international world tours. She's the only female rapper, or one of the only female rappers that can successfully have an international world tour. That's huge.
That's kind of sad that there's not that many that can have that,
though. It is. It is a little sad, but it speaks to her and her talent. You know, she revolutionized the game, I think. There's never been a Nicki Minaj. There will never be another Nicki Minaj, as much as these labels are trying to create one. It'll never happen.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing about NSYNC is that they came in the boy band era where there were so many. And, well, actually, when they started in Germany, because in America, the boy band era hadn't started yet. Backstreet Boys a little bit broke that. And then they started to feel comfortable. They were like, okay, I think we can kind of come in now that that sort of genre has been open and it seems like it's doing well. What I also thought was really interesting that I started going down was the Lou Pearlman issue. So for those who don't know, Lou Pearlman was this man who had a lot of business dealings that were interesting and eventually, you know, was just very creative in how he wrote up the contracts for these boy bands. He made himself a sixth member of the band, was also their manager and all this. So he was just taking so much money from these kids who didn't know better. And so there had to be some pretty big lawsuits that Backstreet and NSYNC did to basically cut off their ties from him and to get some financial freedom, because they basically weren't making any money off of all that success from their first albums.
Sure.
And then Lou Pearlman went on after that to do a whole Ponzi scheme. He was jailed and then he died. I don't know if it was in jail or whatnot, but there was also some allegations of Lou Pearlman having sexual issues with these young boys. And that is a can of worms that I think people have tried to open but can't because of probably non-disclosures and who knows what else.
For sure.
But there are probably lots and lots of stories out there that haven't been told about his behavior with these young boys.
Definitely. And I think going back to contracts, I think that's something else that, for me, set Nicki apart. You know, like she, as a young black woman in the game, advocated for herself. She didn't sign, like, you know, a crappy contract that a lot of these artists sign that doesn't, you know, give them proper accreditation or ownership of their music or even just the license to make what they want to make.
Right.
And so and just her general business acumen, you know, to go from a little girl in Queens where our parents were, you know, you and our parents were struggling too, you know. And to turn herself into a brand, into a mogul, the first female rapper turned mogul. It's incredible. It's just incredible that she was able to branch out in so many different avenues. And she's one of the, I won't say first artist to do that, but she did it so successfully and so well and created a brand. She's Barbie, she's Nicki the actress, she's all these different alter egos, she's the perfume lady, now she's selling nails. Like, she is everything you could want her to be, you know? And she makes it so, maybe not accessible is the right word, but she makes it so easy to make you feel like you're a part of her journey.
So you feel like the big thing that you connected with her was the fact that she connected to her fans.
Absolutely.
And then what about
And that's why her we're music? All so crazy. Like, well, her music is another story. Obviously, like, her pen is unmatched.
well, she's pretty clever.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And what she writes. She is incredible at her wordplay. I love that she can use, like, and this is one of the things I want, like, when I like to write raps and stuff like that, I take huge inspiration from this. I love when she uses, like, one word with four different meanings.
Yeah.
You know, like, a lot of people are like, oh, you're just rhyming the word with the same word. No. Like, yeah. I am, but
there's a double entendre.
Exactly. And to make it all fit and fit within the same message, you know, like, it's pretty incredible. But aside from the music, what was I about to say? Just that personal connection with the fans is why we all go so hard for her, you know, like, because we do, in a weird, insane, crazy, twisted way, feel like we know her. And for the most part, she gets a lot of flack for just, like, she just gets hate for existing. And, like, a lot of, most, 90% of Barbs, 80% of Barbs are not gonna, like, say or do something unhinged or, unprovoked. It's when you say something about Nicki Minaj.
So you guys feel like you need to defend her.
Exactly.
And doesn't she do, like, scholarships and stuff for people or something?
Oh, she's amazing. She's paid Barb's tuition. Like, she does incredible charity work. You know, I think that should be a given.
What do you mean by that?
I think any celebrity should be giving
back. In
their
way that they're passionate about.
And she does that, you know, and I respect that. And not only does she do that, you know, she encourages us to learn from her mistakes. When you go to her concerts, when you listen to her talk live on her whatever, Radioheads, whatever, one of the most important messages she always has for young people, especially young women, go get your education.
Yeah.
Never depend on a man.
Yeah.
You know, like,
be self-sufficient.
Exactly. Like, real life lessons, you know, and it's so motivating because, like, she's proof that you can do it. And I love that when you go back and you listen to her music from those early, early hungry days, she really manifested so much of her current circumstances.
Mm.
You know, she was calling herself the queen of rap when she entered the game.
But isn't that also rap culture?
That is. It is. But to be about your business and stand on it and make sure that you can back it up with your success in the industry and with your talent and with your... I mean, there's, like, very few songs where she's on a track with, like, five men and she doesn't wash them all. You know, and that's incredible in a male-dominated field.
Mm-hmm.
And when men get into, like, all these beefs or they call themselves the king or whatever, it's just like, oh, okay, like, that's a man, you know? Like, that's just a man being cocky and talking his shit. But when Nicki Minaj does it, it's like, oh, let's, you know, let's make it a huge... The media does do a huge thing about, like, turning female cattiness into beef or just perceiving... like, a lack of interaction as beef.
Yeah.
You know?
But I remember one time, like, we were talking about... I was talking about how I love when women lift each other up. And I was like, does she do that? And you were like, yeah, she does. Like, she actually puts people on her song or something. Or she tries to, like, highlight...
Yeah, I mean, so let's be clear, like, she has gotten into plenty of beefs, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Which is... okay, you know, because ultimately this is all a game, you know, like, it's fun. Rap and, like, hip-hop, it's, like, kind of supposed to be this sparring in a way and proving that you're the best.
Rap battles, right?
Especially, like, and that is, you know, like, she did come from, like, New York and, like, you know, like, that rap battle scene. And so in today's day, it is a lot about, like, lifting women up and all that, or lifting people up, supporting each other, artists. And she does that. Like, a lot of people think because she's been in these beefs with a few specific women, that she doesn't overall lift women up on her platform. In the last year alone, she's put, like, 10 women on, or not last year, but in the last few years alone, she's put so many young up-and-coming artists and rappers, not just female, but, you know, female as well. The Queen remix, like, all these different things to really, really put women, give women platforms. But anytime she's in a beef, it's like, oh, she never even paid homage to Lil' Kim in the 90s, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, that's what I kind of had said, because I was like, you know, that's my era. And so I was like, well, what about Trina? What about Lil' Kim, you know? Like,
and
what,
Nicki what about always Missy? Gave what them about, their flowers, you know? Like, before, especially before the Lil' Kim beef, you know? Like, Nicki always gave her flowers. But after the beef, obviously, that Yeah, actually, even after the beef.
I don't keep track of beefs, but I don't eat beef.
Anyway. Period. Why do you think people stan? Like, why do you think stan culture is so prevalent in today's day?
Oh, gosh. I think it's just, like, daydreaming and obsessing or watching movies. We want to escape. Mm-hmm. I think it's an escapism. Definitely. I know for me, it's so interesting. I could spend hours daydreaming.
Yeah.
About NSYNC when I was in high school. And I think about that now and I'm like, wow. Like, how did I literally...
Yeah.
How did my brain do that?
Definitely.
But it was amazing. I could literally daydream for just an hour about them. And, like, you yeah. know, making up stories and this and that. And it's really crazy. I don't know if that was just... My brain was just different then because it was much younger. Or... I didn't have other things to actually do and worry about.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, I don't know that I do that, but just kind of going back into NSYNC and nostalgia and then what are they up to now and things, it was really interesting looking back on it this many years later and curious to see like how when they were looking back on it, because of course like when you're in it you have to have all this PC media approved mm-hmm. stuff that you can say and do mm-hmm. and now they can probably be a little bit more open and come clean about like what was really happening and this and that. But one of the other things that is very different for me now is I loved Justin Timberlake as well as JC. I kind of went back and forth between being obsessed with them, but now I look at Justin very differently, and if I'm being honest, it's not necessarily in the most favorable light, and that's just because I feel like he doesn't appreciate or give credit to the women as much as he could have.
Mm.
And what I'm specifically thinking about is, like, with the whole Britney thing, when they broke up, and then how he did the whole Cry Me a River and made himself look like this victim, like there was infidelity happening, and that she was the one definitely cheating on him, and this and that. When
first of all, she could barely leave the house.
That may or may not have been the case. It may have been the opposite. But how he... You know, and then made her sound like, oh, she's just, you know, a crazy woman doing that whole thing that people do.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't really appreciate that. What happened with Janet Jackson and how that was handled? You know, he kind of laughed it off, whereas her whole career was pretty, you know, that was pretty detrimental to her.
For sure. And I do think, like, obviously not to justify any of JT's behavior, a lot of that does have to do with the media and... us as a society and how misogynistic
absolutely.
And how much misogynoir there is. But it was
his reaction absolutely. Which made me lose respect.
Yeah, for sure.
And yes, you can say he was young or whatever, but I still, it was his reaction or lack of reaction or things that he could have said and done that I didn't love. I didn't appreciate that, and I felt like he could have done it better.
Yeah.
And then even then, there's allegations of, you know, possibly some stuff going on with his wife, and I don't know, you know, if he was cheating on her or whatever. Again, that is a lot of media stuff, but it just made me feel icky about him.
Sure.
I
get that. So, like,
and that's hard to reconcile because I was, like, in love with him.
So you lost respect with someone that you kind of, like, used to identify with. And I think...
No, I never identified with
him. Oh, okay.
No, I mean, how could I identify with Justin Timberlake?
Fair. Well, so, like, I was going to say, for me, I feel like a huge part of stanning is identifying with an artist. And, like, for me, when I was in high school and I really started, like, going back and listening to her mixtapes and, like, you know, going through all that, like, I can't explain why it really helped me, like, come into my own identity, you know? Like, she was so...
Brave,
and she really helped me access that flamboyancy, to be honest, that I was really, like, hindered from doing, and at least I could do it through the music, you know? Like, I could listen to her, I could be so animated, I could say all these crazy crazy things, and it was like, oh, like, it was such a release, you know? And it was so fun, you know? And it really helped me discover so much about myself. And, like, you know, I was really, really lucky that I grew up in South Florida and, like, and got the opportunity to run with so many different and diverse circles of people, mm-hmm. you know, like, choir, drama, like, I don't know, like, everybody, you know, I was in a lot of different social spheres, and I was exposed to so many different people and folks and, you know, everything, types you know.
Music.
Yeah, like, yeah. you know, I definitely South Florida culture is its own thing.
Yeah, for
but
sure.
It was still, like, transferable to, like, what I was listening to and what I was experiencing with Nicki Minaj. And I'm not saying I was, like, you know, I definitely don't, like, pretend to be, you know, like, a G, you know, or, like, a thug or anything like that. Yeah. But I am, like, a little ratchet and I'm a little feminine and, like, that's my lane. You know what I mean? And, like, it really helped to have this crazy woman that I could relate to in those senses, you know? And even to this day, even though she definitely says some, has said some problematic things, yeah. you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think we as, like, the consumers of all this media, like, definitely there's, we definitely always want to hold people accountable for what right. they say and everything.
Do you feel like you give her too much allowance?
Oh, in absolutely. I
like
recognize.
You wouldn't do for I other re- people.
I told. Well, that's the thing, though. Things I wouldn't do. You know, like when she's spiraling on Twitter and she's saying all these crazy things.
Yeah.
I do want to cringe a little bit, but I also understand that as a Barb, I am mentally unstable just like she is sometimes. And you know, like it's hard to get me to that level, but once you get me there,
yeah.
I can act crazy.
Yeah.
You know? And so I still relate, even though I might not agree with the thing she is saying.
Right.
But I will agree that, like, you push me in a corner and, like, eventually you can't be mad when I react.
Okay. You can understand, like, how she got there, but not necessarily the content of
for
what she's saying.
Sure. For sure.
Because I feel like sometimes I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, in your eyes, Nicki can do no wrong. And I'm just like, I don't know about that, you know?
She could walk
like, that's what
up
I'm talking
to me.
About with Justin, you know, that, like, there was a yeah. point in my life where Justin could do no wrong.
Right.
And now I'm, like, now that I'm older, and I'm just like, no. Like, he didn't take as much accountability sure. as I would have liked him to.
Sure, sure.
And even still, like, I think he did say that and admit that himself, mm-hmm. that, you know, he could have handled things differently, especially with those particular women.
Mm-hmm.
But so nothing I'm saying is not something that I'm sure he has thought about that and hopefully yeah. he's wiser. But
yeah,
I can't say like, oh, just because he is him, that he is, right. you know, forgiven from all things.
Right. Whereas for me, like Nicki Minaj could walk up to me, call me a homophobic slur to my face, and I would still kiss her feet.
That's
like,
a that's, problem, though.
I know.
That is.
I know.
That
I recognize
is
that.
That is, you know.
I recognize yeah. that. But it's, I don't know. I just love that woman. She changed my life in a crazy
way. And then I, as
like,
a big sister,
way,
I'm just like,
know?
What did she ever do to you? You know, we've had this conversation. I'm like, what did she ever do for you? You know, she's not your mother. She's not your big sister.
First
you
of all,
know,
mother,
like,
but.
What? Yeah, right. Because you call her mother. And I'm just like, she's never done anything for you. You
but
know,
but she did. Like, in, like, it's so corny and like, cringy, but like when all of you, like my family wasn't there for me,
yeah,
her music was there for me, and like yeah. that part of my identity that I had to suppress around you guys,
mm-hmm.
you know, I could still access because of her and other artists, of course, but like she's always like been like one of the main ones.
Yeah, so her music kind of got you through. But see, the thing with NSYNC is that it wasn't so much like, yeah, I enjoyed their music and I love their music, but it wasn't yeah. ever something that was like so meaningful to me.
Mm-hmm.
That it wasn't that. I mean, it was literally just like, you know, being obsessed with them as mm-hmm. people, their personalities and whatnot. So it was very different for me. Whereas there's other artists that, like, their music, you know,
right.
is very meaningful
sure,
to me,
sure.
and I can connect with
and
that.
I can understand people that are like, well, what I don't like is when people only minimize her, like, work to, like, what they hear on the radio, which is a lot of time, like, you know, that the booty popping, you know, like, ratchet stuff. But when you actually delve into her discography, she has really, really good songs. You know, like, this woman writes ballads. This woman writes incredible, incredible work. And a lot of people aren't exposed to that because they just, you know,
didn't hear it on the mainstream.
Sure.
Yeah.
And I also want to note that a lot of people don't like Nicki Minaj because of her fans. And I think that's fine.
The one thing that I just, again, it was like kind of the husband thing and seeing some of that. And like, I don't know enough about it to talk about it. But again, it's like when you just hear these little snippets, sometimes media does such a good job of making something be what you identify with people. And that's what these celebrities all have to deal with, is that like constant media and what there might be an association with from something 15 years ago that they did.
Sure. Well, what I'm talking about is just the toxicity around stan culture. And like, that's why a lot of people don't care for Nicki Minaj, is because her fans are insane and will like attack you. You know, like, I'm not, I am not like, you know, I will definitely like tweet about her and I will you know, always post good pictures of her and all that.
But you're not going to be like a religious zealot.
Like, well, like, I don't like, you know, like, I don't take it too far where I'm doxing people and I'm like, which if you don't know, like, that means, right, that means like exposing people's personal information online.
Oh my God.
You know, like,
people do that?
Barbs are insane, you know, and like, I don't agree with all that. It makes me giggle once in a while because like the barbs can be funny, you know, and make funny jokes, but I will laugh at what I think is funny, but not too far. And Nicki always says, you know, don't dox people, don't harass, don't bully.
Yeah, good. I'm glad that she like tries. She does, to
and a lot of people will selectively ignore that she does say, you know, don't bully, don't do this, don't do that.
Yeah, right.
Because when she defends herself, it's often painted as her bullying someone else. And so I can understand why people have a bad taste in their mouth around, you know, the craziness of the fans. You know, my craziness for her is that, you know, my craziness for her is just how much I love her, which is an unhealthy amount. But I'm not often going to like, or rarely ever am I gonna like, you know,
so crazy, right? Like, try insult
somebody, try to cut them deep, you know, something like that.
That's probably not healthy to do for anybody, unless for it's sure. like your family, you know, like your child or your, you know.
I also just think like we live in a time where like things are really bleak, you know, like life is hard. The world is burning and crumbling around us.
Whether you know it or not, it is.
A lot of people are not as attached to religion or these huge institutions anymore. A lot of people are attached to celebrities and media and what's happening on their TV screens and on their phones. And, you know, like, it's, I think a lot of people have actually started idolizing and, you know, like, celebrities are kind of our gods right now, you know, like.
Yeah, which like, is what, you know, a lot of religious texts warn about as being not a good thing or to do. But yeah, and it's also very interesting in how celebrities are treated in some places versus others. So like, for example, in the USA, I think they are definitely more idolized compared to other places. Whereas, like, maybe that's not the case in other countries. And I don't know if that is cultural or religious, you know, that maybe they just don't.
Yeah, I would be curious
as much.
I would be curious to see what views on this are in the Western world versus
like the Eastern world. Yeah. I mean, like, we know K-pop fans are really big and this and that.
That's true. But when you look online and it's all this stan culture and stuff, like, it's like little white girls that are like hashtag BTS RB.
It's very interesting. So it's interesting, I guess, if you do have a more religious base, that maybe that is less because they understand that they are not the end all be all, that they have something else that they are also attached to.
Although one thing I want to say about my queen, Nicki Minaj, she's like, you know, I'm not Christian, but she's kind of religious in that sense. I'm sure that that's, you know.
You mean she believes in a higher power.
Exactly. And gives credit exactly. to God. And she does. She is, you know, devout in her religion. And, you know, maybe I'm not the What's most religion person. She's Christian.
Oh, okay.
I'm not the most religion person, but I respect still that she is humble in that sense. That she still says, you know, I couldn't have done this if it weren't for all these other things lining up in my life and all these other people. And this maybe, you know, this higher power or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And so...
Wait, Nicki didn't make you believe in God?
You know, there were times, you know, there were moments where I listened to a verse or saw her performing and I was having a religious experience. So maybe.
Oh my God.
You know, maybe she did.
You know what I have to say? I gotta be honest. I think I'm just jealous of Nicki and how much you, like, worship her and love her so much. I think that's what my problem is, honestly, yeah. is that I am jealous because you say things like,
I love her more than most people love their mothers, I think.
Yeah, yeah. And honestly, I have a problem with that. I mean, and I'm jealous because I remember, like, you were like, yeah, you're the same age as Nicki. And I was like, you mean she's the same age as me? I'm your sister. Like, I know. What the hell?
That's how I remember how old you are. How old is Nicki Minaj?
I was like, oh my God, I had to refrain from slapping you across the face.
No, you know I'm joking when I say that.
Are you?
But no, I promise you thing is a joke.
That hurt. That burned me. Like, that really did.
Was totally a joke. Oh my gosh.
I was like, oh my gosh. And then when you say things like mother, like, I'm so sensitive about that because I'm like, your mother is your mother, like, you know, like, how dare you
that's also just stan culture, yeah, you know, like, I think that's just
terminology, me not understanding, yeah, you know, a lot, yeah, of that stuff.
Definitely it's definitely like, stan culture is crazy, the lingo is always changing.
I'm glad we cleared the air on that.
I'm dead. Like, I can't believe you thought I was serious about that. That's so funny.
And I will tell, I was like, oh my God. And I realized, like, I think a part of my problem is that I'm just jealous of how important she is to you. Because I was like, no, that's my place.
Right. No, I get that.
I think those dissy mother-in-laws, how dare you take my place?
and you know, I think I understand that, and I think what I would ask you to understand is, again, kind of what I was talking about earlier. There were times in my life where
family wasn't there for me. Yeah.
You know, and her presence, you know, her online, her whatever, her music, whatever, you know, and that is a parasocial relationship. You know, I am totally acknowledging the fact that I am crazy. And,
no, but when you know, said that, like, when we had that conversation before, we've had this, you know, where I was like, but what did she ever do for you, you know? And you told me, you were like, well, she was there for me when you guys quite frankly weren't. And I accepted that. And I acknowledge that. And I believe you when you say that. And so I was like, okay, all right. I have to take that. And I also need to acknowledge my role in that.
Mm-hmm.
So I totally... Yeah. You know, ultimately that was like, well, okay, I'm glad. I'm glad you had something or somebody, because everybody needs something to hold on to.
Right.
You know, and those who don't, then, you know, sadly, we see the things that happen.
And that's probably why I have such a parasocial relationship with her, you know?
What is parasocial? I'm not a psychology major.
Oh, geez. It just not a normal... healthy relationship. Okay, you know, like, she's obviously not an actual person in my actual physical life that I see every day or ever.
Unless, Nicki, you want to make that happen.
Oh my God, period. I'll see you in Charlotte, Mom. But I also think, like, you know, like, she's crazy, I'm crazy. So, like, I can reconcile the fact that I'm so obsessed with her because I'm like, oh, I'm just a crazy person loving another crazy person.
Yeah.
You know, which...
Well, I think it's just relatedness, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't say crazy either, because crazy has a different connotation.
Oh, sure, sure.
But I think unabashed, unrestricted.
Unapologetic.
Yeah, I think of it more like that, which takes bravery and courage, which is what I respected about her when she came out, was I was like, oh, man, like, I feel like, especially as women, we quote, hide our crazy. And mm-hmm. that's what we're, like, accused of, right? Mm-hmm. Whatever that might be or look like. And there's just so much history with, like, women and the word crazy. So I try to not use that word. But
I apologize for that.
No, no, it's okay. I mean, because I'm sure I did it just in this conversation. But what I liked about her was that she did show that part that some of us would, like, hide that creativity
because sure.
we would be too scared.
And you know so what?
I give her credit for her bravery.
And she stayed true to herself regardless of all the barriers that were put in front of her because of that.
Yeah, which is really hard to do.
She's been blackballed. She's been, the Grammys haven't given her a Grammy yet, even though she's been running the industry for over a decade.
But it seems like they do that with a lot of people.
Okay,
too.
Why did they give Cardi B a Grammy? Cardi B a Grammy over Nicki Minaj. All right, let's just be real.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know that.
I know. Stuff, and I know this is definitely coming from Stan perspective, but even objectively, look at their discographies.
That surprises me. I didn't know that.
There is no world we are living in which Cardi B should have gotten a Grammy before Nicki Minaj.
I would probably agree with that.
And it was to spite Nicki. And that's the truth. The industry truly has been working against her for years. And she's still one of the most successful artists of all time. Yeah. And that's why I love and respect her so much.
And maybe that's why her fans are
insane.
To sort of, like, try to make up for that.
Yeah,
to
give her her flowers because we know very few other people get it. Yeah, the GP does not, the general population. Yeah. Well, that's what we the stands call. Everybody GP. Else that's not a Barb, the GP.
Oh, dear, the muggles.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. All the people that don't have the magic of Nicki Minaj in their life.
Oh, goodness. Well, we each have something that we cling to.
Definitely.
I don't know what my current obsession is, I guess, because I think the way I am, also just the season of life, right, when you just get so busy with other things, you kind of can't really cling to something necessarily.
Do you think I stand anyone before Nicki Minaj? I can't remember that far back into
my
life.
Well, Madhuri Dixit.
Oh, period. I still stan her.
She's gorgeous.
Yeah.
She is a queen.
That's
of
also
course.
Mother, yes. I love her. If you don't know, Madhuri Dixit is like the queen of the silver screen, which is Bollywood.
Yeah.
She's been
pretty phenomenal.
Yeah, she can still dance. She's 4 years younger than Mommy. She can still dance.
Well,
incredibly.
I mean, it's not like she's old.
That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying she's been in the industry.
She could still be like a main character.
Exactly.
That like where a lot of younger, like a lot of women might have been like replaced with younger people, but she can still very much hold her own.
What I'm getting
in
at
Bollywood,
is her I'm getting at her longevity in the game and the fact that she still gets on stage and performs.
Oh my gosh, she's so good.
That's incredible. And I think one of the reasons I love Nicki Minaj is because I see that for her. I see that when Nicki is
also like Madhuri, kind of like we always used to say, like some of our family members looked a little bit like her, so I think there was
of
that.
It's funny, as I got older I like had to struggle to admit that Madhuri looked like Mommy a little bit, and like maybe that was the reasons I loved her so much, is because it was a comfort to see her on screen. But now, especially now that Mommy's gone, as I go back and watch those videos, I'm like, oh yeah, like she does kind of look like Mommy.
There's
and, like
a little bit there,
tiny bit, but it's kind of the mannerisms and the
silliness.
Yeah. Exactly.
She could be sexy and cute at the same time, and our mom had that.
Definitely.
Yeah, and we can objectively say that. I know that sounds really weird, but
I think
like Nicki, and then there was I feel like there was somebody else. Oh, well, you did like Selena Gomez for a little while.
Selena Gomez.
I don't know if you remember that.
It's funny cuz in retrospect, I'm just like, she did well considering she can't sing.
I'm just kidding.
I love you, Selena. But
I like her.
She makes amazing music.
She does make good music. Yeah.
She's kind of like Cardi B. Can't rap, but makes bops.
Like, you're going to get yourself canceled.
It's fine. I deserve it. I'm crazy.
I think you liked Michael Jackson a little bit.
Oh,
definitely.
But, who
doesn't?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, like,
Just the music. Yeah. There's lots of
And the performances.
To love.
Yeah. I mean,
he's
what
just
was
such
it?
A good entertainer.
Eighth grade, I did like a Michael Jackson talent show to wannabe starting something. Yeah, that was cute.
I still have like some of your videos where you were practicing and Austin is like, no, do it this way. Start over.
Cringe. We need to find those. Well, we need to find those and post those somewhere just to embarrass me.
I
do have
them somewhere. But I feel like those are the big people I'm remembering off the top of my head. I know for me, like, I loved the Beatles. I still love the Beatles. I was obsessed with Jacob Dylan.
Oh, I liked Journey for a minute, from the which was weird.
Yeah, well, they're good music.
Had a little rock and roll phase, even though I was never a rock and roll person.
Yeah, but they're Journey. Everybody loves Journey. That's true. And then I went real hard into the NSYNC thing for a good while until Justin decided to do his own thing and leave us all hanging. But apparently now NSYNC is on his new record for, I think it's a song called Paradise. So I'm excited about that.
You know what? I hate to admit this, but when I was figuring out my little gay shit.
Oh my god.
I was a 1D stan for just a minute. I was a One Direction stan because they were all so cute.
Oh yeah. And they make me feel like such a pervert because One Direction figuring it all
out.
So cute.
I was figuring it all out and they were so cute and their interactions were so I was like I was shipping them without realizing I was shipping them.
What does that mean?
Shipping is like when you want two people to be like in a relationship.
Oh, Harry and Zayn.
Any of them. Yeah. I shipped off. That might have been the first pentuple I ever supported. Harry and Zayn a lot. For me, it was Harry and Louis. I don't know why. I thought Louis like, you know.
Honestly, though, they had that same thing again where like their interactions with each other are so cute. Yeah. And you're just like, oh, they really do like each other, you know. But like the thing about Zayn, I love that name, Zayn. And then, when I was thinking about names for my kids, something came up and I was just like, oh, I can't do Zayn Malik because people are going to think that I'm a Zayn.
You named
Malik
him after.
I was like, that's not the reason why I would do that. It was for other reasons.
Yeah.
But I did not do that because I was worried people were going to be like, I was like, yeah, that'd be gross because I'm way older than
For anyone that doesn't know, Malik was like supposed to be our last name. But, brown people always mess up their immigration papers and switch around their last name. So a lot of. Or maybe not a lot, but
pretty common name.
Yeah, and not only that, I'm sure you've met a couple other brown people who are like, oh, this isn't actually my last name, but is what I go by, you know? Yeah. At least we definitely have. And so.
So I don't know if I, like, I know just, like, don't know myself in that, like, if I get into something, like yesterday we watched an entire season of something together, that I'll, like, sometimes I'll get. Then I'll, like, research about them or, like, I'll read a book and then I'll be like, okay, who is this author? And, like, I kind of delve into it a little bit, probably in an unhealthy way.
We all go down a rabbit hole.
Recently, that's what happened with me with NSYNC, you know, and then I started going back and looking at, like, some of their old videos, then looking at some of their recent interviews.
Yeah. That's been really fun with this tour going around. I love that people take these clips of, like, Nicki Minaj performing now, and they'll, like, side-by-side them with, like, her in 2009, like, selling out a club, you know what I mean? Like, it's so different, but so amazing that, like, she's still the same, you know what I mean? And, like, the fans are still, you know, there's just more, you know? And now she's in an arena instead of in a club. And it's just so fun, the nostalgia. I hope you had fun and nostalgia going down your rabbit hole and going through.
I did. That's what it is, right? It's just, oh gosh, you know, what was my life back then and the place I was in and how I could just sit there and daydream about these guys and thinking like, I want to get married to them and this and that, you know, it's just crazy things like we all do when we're young and whatever. And it's just interesting to see when you go out 20, 25 years, how you see how things played out, which not everybody gets to do. So it's interesting kind of looking back on that. And then I still love JC, though. He's still my man. But
so I think we'll end this podcast by saying, thank God we were both alive at the same time as NSYNC and Nicki Minaj.
Yes.
Honorable mention to Queen B and Rihanna.
And listen to Lance's podcast because he's so good at doing his podcast.
Is he the homosexual one?
Yes, he is, which came out quite a bit later as well.
Period.
Very interesting. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, we hope you enjoyed this deep dive into our not crazy, because that's not a good word, but our
unhealthy
our minds, whatever they are, good or bad.
Unhealthy. You know? Yeah, we can go with unhealthy on that.
Yeah.
The first step is acknowledgement.
Please don't take anything we said too seriously in this podcast. You know, we...
Please don't hate us.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, we just like to have fun. And
what are you obsessed with?
Yeah, who do you stand? Surely there's somebody.
Yeah.
Somebody that you would...
Who did you secretly want to marry growing up?
Interesting.
Yeah. All right. We'll see you next time.
Bye.